NFL insider Jason LaCanfora, brought to you by Shank Sports Grill. Monday night, it's the Ravens and Rams. Enter to win a trip to see Seattle versus LA. Shank South in the newly renovated Shank's Crowfoot, your home for the NFL.
Welcome in, Jason, from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Joins us Tuesdays and Fridays on Pinder and Steinberg. Jay, 24-17, Chiefs beat the Chargers on Monday Night Football to wrap up Week 11. What did we see last night?
Boy, a lot of bad Phillip Rivers, huh? Kind of trying to do too much, getting in his own way, getting in his team's way. You know, and if you don't watch them regularly, I can see you kind of seeing Phillip Rivers through your mind's eye and the accomplishments he's had and the career he's had and thinking that that was out of character. And it was certainly an extreme example of some of his poorer characteristics of this season, but it wasn't that extreme. He's been very inconsistent. And I think, really, he's always thrown a lot of picks, but he's not able to overcome it like he once did. He was never a tremendous athlete, and now the lack of mobility is even a bigger problem. And to compensate, he's forcing things and trying to do too much and thinking, well, I've got this great tight end, and I've got two great receivers, and I've got two really capable running backs, and I'll sling it up there, and they'll make a play. But you know what? That's not how it always works. He looks, you know, like an aging quarterback. He looks to me like an Eli Manning started to look a couple years ago when they really should have made that change for good. So it sets up for an interesting offseason. I mean, the Chargers will probably win some more games down the stretch, and, you know, maybe they sort of crawl back into the periphery of the wild card. But they've had some real tough losses lately, and they just haven't looked like a team capable of putting together any sort of string of wins. And frankly, based on roster alone before the injury started, I think you could have made the case they had as much talent as anyone. But I think the quarterback situation is probably going to have to be addressed for the first time in 15 years this offseason.
So Kansas City picks up the win, and they move to 7-4. They're currently on top of the AFC West. Where do the Chargers fit now that Mahomes is back? Not the Chargers. Where do the Chiefs fit, rather, now that they've got their quarterback back and they seem to be a whole lot healthier? How do you see them compared to the rest of the AFC in this playoff picture?
I still think they're in the pack chasing. The defense, the 3 weeks Mahomes was out, the two complete games he missed, and then he missed almost all the Denver game when the injury occurred. They play pretty airtight defense, and it looked like maybe they had turned a corner and figured a few things out, particularly the run defense. But that looks more to be like a blip than reality, and that's a problem. The Chiefs don't quite run the ball as well as they have in recent years. Getting the offensive lineman back is big. You know, they got Chris Jones back for a few weeks now, and he's starting to throw his weight around, but I still have questions about their pass rush. I still have questions about their secondary. I have big questions about the ability to stop the run against teams that really put their mind to it. And Mahomes isn't throwing for 50 touchdowns this year, and he's not covering up every single wart. And he, you know, he's been banged up. I mean, people forget he probably needed those 3 weeks just to get the ankle squared away, because the ankle was a pretty big problem before the, you know, before the knee. Everything looks like a struggle for them, and lost three times at home already, which is unusual. I mean, I would not concede that division to them. As physical as Oakland is, and as loosey-goosey as Oakland is, and as well as Oakland can run the football, and Oakland's got an offensive line that's very gritty and inclined to run the football, and Derek Carr is making plays, I think Oakland will be a formidable opponent for the Chiefs.
Yeah, and they just won their third game in a row with a win over Cincinnati over the weekend. So nipping at the heels are Oakland of the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC West. Jason LaCanfora is our guest. He joins us every Tuesday, our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Your weekly NFL insider piece to wrap up Sunday action is always must-read, and I am completely with you. You want Gardner Minshew back at quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. 33-13, they lose to the Colts. It's time for Minshew mania to come back, hey?
Well, I don't think it ever should have gone away, and that's not revisionist history. That was me you know, every week chronicling it. And even after the terrible game in London against Houston, I still said what that kid did, the nine-game body of work with not much around him, under duress, and you know, just I thought he'd have won the job and earned the right to keep that job. And, you know, the first sign of distress shouldn't have put him on ice. And, you know, I mean, Nick Foles is a nice quarterback and all, but he's not carrying a team. He's not carrying a team for multiple seasons. I don't care how much you paid him. That's not his reality. He already broke down in week one. And to think that he's going to come in after 2 months on the shelf in what amounted to a playoff game with a bunch of guys he's barely thrown to, you know, he hasn't really thrown to anybody since training camp, and that he's going to pick up and have the chemistry that Minshew had with Shark, and you think he's going to make the plays outside of the pocket to sustain things the way Minshew did because the offensive line is not good. No, it makes them easier to defend, in my estimation, putting an immobile quarterback back in there, even if he is a little more accurate, although I would say statistically Minshew was pretty darn good himself. So, I mean, they're not winning anything this year. I know they may think they are, but at some point, like, you got to realize you're not who you think you are, and you better start thinking about your future because Calais Campbell ain't a part of it, and you didn't trade him. And if you really want to pay Nick Foles $25 million to be the second-best quarterback on your roster, I guess you could do that. But the smarter move would be to get him on ice before he gets hurt again and eat $7 million of that or whatever to trade him somewhere else next year. That team has left me scratching my head for years. And, you know, Nick Foles had one okay drive. He had one great drive. And then for the rest of the game that mattered, he was horrible.
Do you think it's going to happen? Like,
No. I don't think so. They're not listening to me. Trust me, that's been established for years. When they extended Bortles, they lost me. Or even a little bit before that. No, they won't admit the mistake. But they've also, you know, their playoff odds are not good. And I don't think Nick Foles is going to elevate that entire team. I think Nick Foles on a very good team with really smart coaching can be highly functional, and he won't make mistakes, and he can contribute. Nick Foles on a mediocre at best team without great pieces around him, expected to carry the franchise, I just don't think that's who he is.
Yeah. With Jason Lockenfora, you really liked what you saw, speaking of quarterbacks, from Kirk Cousins in that second half. That was a heck of a performance from the Vikings, but really impressive stuff from their quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, really, since September and the well-chronicled horrible start and him kind of having a crisis of confidence and, you know, apologizing to Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs basically saying, trade me, that's all in the rearview mirror now. And I think it – I said at the time that airing of grievances, I think, is what they needed. Everybody was a little too lovey-dovey, hunky-dory. You know, I don't want to hurt your feelings. You don't hurt my feelings. Sometimes you got to have an edge. I mean, this is an incredibly competitive sport. And sometimes you got to say, what the bleep? I'm not going to listen to what my coach says. I'm not going to worry about if I ran the ball enough or if I audibled out of enough pass plays to placate my coach or if I threw too much with the lead. I got to do what got me here. And they've done that. And that was and that game Sunday was a microcosm of sort of their season about 6 weeks ago. They sat there at halftime, and I think Cousins was 8 of 9 for 41 yards, and it was dinky-dunk, and it was clear that Vic Fangio was not going to let Dalvin Cook beat him. And there was no Adam Thielen there. And the last 99 teams who trailed by 20 points or more at halftime had lost in the NFL going back 5 years. And I think it was 5 years, something like that. And anyway, they came out and knew they had to play a perfect half offensively and defensively, and they did. And Denver did them a few favors in the fact that they were facing Brandon Allen at quarterback, who I think realized in the second half on Brandon Allen and started missing a lot of throws. That all helped, but they had to earn that against a pretty good defense, and they did it. And Cousins was absolutely perfect in the second half. You know, he averaged, I think, 11, almost 12 yards per attempt. He had 260 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, huge play to Diggs, huge play to Rudolph. They're going to be a hard team to beat at home. I don't know if they're going on the road, you know, on grass in a hostile environment and winning. But you put them in a dome, they're pretty good. And you put that defense in particular and that offense with that crowd, and they're going to be a tough out. The thing is, they may not be able to, if Green Bay doesn't lose, they may not be able to get a home game.
Well, and one of the teams that we thought was going to be very much a factor in the NFC wildcard conversation were the Carolina Panthers, but all of a sudden they're hitting the skids and they're doing it at the wrong time.
Yeah, lost three of their last four, outscored, I think, 124-62, where I'm not a math major, but that's 2-1. That's not a good scoring margin. And allowing 32 points a game when your coach is a defensive-minded coach who was told in the offseason, you call the plays, you take it over, it's all on you, that's not good. And when you've got a backup quarterback and he's got to play basically an entire year, he's going to need a lot of help and a lot of good complementary football. And Atlanta came out there and just bulldozed them on both sides of the ball, and that game was over at halftime. When you're down 26-0 and you're supposed to go to the playoffs and the other team's 2-7 and you're kicking field goals, that's not going to look real good to the owner, you know, who just paid $2.3 billion cash for this thing and has sat on his hands for, you know, a year and three quarters. But you know that's going to change at some point. Their schedule's really tough. They still have to play the Saints twice. I think they have to play Seattle. They have to play the Colts. And Kyle Allen has thrown 9 picks the last 4 weeks and has started to look like an inexperienced quarterback feeling his way rather than, you know, the kid who couldn't lose his first 5 or 6 starts. So, yeah, that's another organization where obviously with the Cam Newton thing hanging over their heads and Ron Rivera going into a lame duck year, there's going to be a lot to be asked, and I do think that owner will be making some changes.
And a final thought for you, my friend. It's a very interesting way to kick off Week 12, an AFC playoff-relevant game between the Colts and the Texans on Thursday night. Tell us about that one.
It's two beat-up football teams. This is going to be interesting. I mean, the Colts are hopeful. They might get T.Y. Hilton back, but Paris Campbell's still pretty beat up. Marlon Mack just had hand surgery. You know, how's that going to play out for them? That's a lot to ask. It's Jacoby Brissett, who just came back from his knee injury on a short week. The Texans know J.J. Watt. Their offensive line got absolutely emasculated by the Ravens on Sunday. They don't have time to lick their wounds. But Deshaun Watson took some big hits, and that ankle, there was something going on there. I'm sure they taped him up, shot him up, did whatever they had to do at halftime. But I thought they left him out there too long. And he clearly was hobbled for a big part of that game. And again, short week, how does that play out? You know, can Will Fuller come back on a short week? It's a whole lot easier to worry about and take away or at least mitigate DeAndre Hopkins when you don't have to worry about Fuller flying down the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, Kiki Kute dropped some more balls. He's in the doghouse, but they got to play him because they're running out of bodies. It's kind of an attrition game. But if the Colts win it, they've got a stranglehold on that division because there'll be a game up, and it's really two games up because they will have swept the series. So we'll see. You know, it'll be an interesting game. Deshaun Watson was held in check probably to the greatest degree of his entire pro career. And Houston doesn't get blown out in the regular season like that generally. So, you know, how do they respond? I think it's a toss-up kind of a game. But if the Colts are still able to run the ball the way they normally do without Mac, and I think because of the offensive line, they will. I think that's going to be a big problem for the Texans.
Good stuff as always, Jason. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again on Friday. Thank you, pal.
Sounds good. Look forward to it.